Dive into the thriving local arts, entertainment, and food scene with coasting editor Jerry Boggs and his guests. Let us be your guide to the creative South Coast.
All right. Happy July 5th. It's the day after Independence Day, and we've got... We're not done celebrating yet. We've got some guests in our Coastin podcast studio, so I'll kick things off and just start around the room. And Wendy, you can start introducing yourselves.
Hi, good morning. I'm Wendy Hall. I'm the associate producer with New Bedford Festival Theater.
And I'm Armin Martian. I am the producer of New Bedford Festival Theater.
I'm Victoria Casillo, and I'm the choreographer for West Side Story at New Bedford Festival Theater.
Well, thank you guys for coming in. It's exciting. I was walking in this morning. You know, we just had the 4th of July festivities, and I see they're setting up tents for the Folk Festival downtown, and then you all are coming up right around the corner. It's July's fun. July's a lot of fun.
It certainly is.
So, but I'm sure you all are, if I remember correctly, you have actors and talent coming in very soon.
Soon, now.
They rehearse Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday this week. Yes, they actually rehearsed on the 4th of July.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So is this, you know, I know the, you know, Armand, we've talked a lot about kind of the build-up and how busy things are, but does this kind of overshadow all that? once rehearsals start and once people are in town, is it just kind of like, okay, it's...
Yes, we had it seemed like a bus full of people that came in from New York. It wasn't a complete bus full of people, but it was awesome to see them all stepping off the bus at our bus station in New Bedford. The show was in town as of Sunday. The cast was in town.
That's fun. Is it... Does it seem more real? Does it seem more exciting? Does it seem more daunting? What are the emotions that happen like at this level when you start rehearsals, when you really start?
Well, we're doing West Side Story, so that will tell you exactly where we're at. Last year we were doing My Fair Lady, which is all very mannered and it's all very proper. And of course, when you're doing West Side Story, it's electrifying. Everybody just lets go. So that it adds a lot of energy. Mm-hmm. Everybody's like up every minute. So it's a great feeling because that's what it should be in musical theater.
And Victoria, I know I'm sure you've been preparing for the choreography and getting ready to start. What is it like now that everybody's in town and you start going through? Is it kind of assessing everyone?
It's really cool. I've spent countless hours preparing the choreography for this. And then finally, we ran Dance at the Gym for the first time on Tuesday. And seeing everybody do the number was so exciting. It made all the hours and hours of work worth it to watch everybody do it. It's really exciting.
Now you'll have to forgive me. I come from a kind of a sports background. I did sports for 10 years, so I kind of think of you all as coaches. And I see you on the sidelines with like a clipboard making notes, like, you know, here's what we need to do next practice, kind of thing. Is that kind of what it's like, or is it
kind of? I have to demonstrate every dance sequence, and I do have kind of a clipboard. I have a notebook where I tell everybody, this is where you stand, this is where you move to, this is your traffic. So I kind of am a coach, and I was just telling Wendy I'm going to have certain gangs run each number every day for stamina, so I do feel like
oh
a coach
goodness.
Sometimes.
Well, I was talking to Wendy last week, and I was asking, you know, as you transition from performer to kind of behind the scenes, are there moments when you're like, I remember how hard it was, I'm going to make sure it's just as hard for you? Do you kind of say, okay, somebody punished me, now I'm going to punish you? Is there any? No?
Well, no. We're nice. We're nicer than that. Victoria, I was telling Jerry, and I'm sure you feel the same way, that as a choreographer, I always feel like I have to be able to do it. And that way I can expect my cast to do it. I staged West Side Story for Festival Theater in 2000, 18 years ago. Victoria was still in preschool. And I actually was pregnant with my second son.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I was 7 months pregnant.
Wow.
But I did it.
I did it.
There was one point, and I'm sure Victoria can feel my pain, where one of the actors during Cool said, I can't be here on 8 and then here on 1. And I pulled a rabbit out of my hat and I said, play the music. And I did it. And then I said, if I can do it pregnant, you can do it.
Yeah.
So does this mean your son technically has one version of West Side Story under his belt as,
yes.
on his resume?
Yes.
He can write that down.
And he's actually very good at math, and I think being in the womb and hearing all of the Bernstein,
all the counting.
Yeah, all the counting and all the music and the intricacies, I always say that led to your math gift.
That's funny.
Now, it's interesting because West Side Story has been done 4 times in New Bedford. And the first time was at New Bedford High School in 1981. And our original leads are coming to the opening night of the show.
Oh, my gosh.
And they're in their 50s. George and I, we choreographed it with a choreographer. And she's being honored on opening night.
Oh, wow.
Because she's getting there. And but she's a terrific lady. And so there's been, West Side Story has been very central to New Bedford for so many different reasons. That was 1981. The Z opened the year later after it had been restored and everything, and we did it for the Zyterian in 1987. And you, both of you gals, it's interesting because Victoria and Wendy both went to the Boston Conservatory, and the man who was in charge of the music theater department was Neil Donahoe. He was our Tony in the 1987 production. So it's, all of this is together, and it's, we all have that as a commonality, is West Side Story. It's amazing, isn't it?
It is.
I don't know, you know, you mentioned, you know, kind of staging it before, but you have a long history with West Side Story. I'm sure a lot of people in musical theater do because it's such a popular
show. It's one of those shows that once you do it, you just keep doing it, kind of become mildly obsessed with it. I, you know, when we brought Victoria on as choreographer, I was so excited because she's been in 5 productions of it, and I have done it 5 times as well. So the two of us are embarking together on our 6th production. And I can definitely tell you, going back to the sports analogy, when I looked at her notes, it very much looks like a playbook.
But the piece is so perfect that you really, you know, I did it for 2 years, and you really never get tired of hearing
Absolutely.
It. You find new
Absolutely.
Things every time. And it's like Shakespeare. It's like, I feel like it's so perfect that you don't have, as a performer, you don't have to do a whole lot. The text is so perfect that
Exactly.
you just, if you throw yourself into it, it's exciting no matter what.
I was going to ask, because there's some movies that come on TV and you're going to watch them even if it's the 100th time. You know, I'm never like, oh, Shawshank, and you know, go mm-hmm. on. Like, is that kind of the same thing with West Side Story? You're not like,
Yes.
oh, we're doing West Side Story again.
Nope.
Come on.
No. The minute you hear the music, especially we were talking about Cool in the car, how iconic Cool is, and the minute you hear that da-da-da-da-da, like, if you're a dancer or producer or, you know,
Anybody.
Anyone involved, it sort of lights a flame in you. Musicals, there are many wonderful musicals, but there are few that can, like, light that flame, get that ignition going each time, and West Side Story is definitely one of those musicals.
It also has
to
be a fun thing.
Of course, as we mentioned choreography, we have to mention the name of Jerome Robbins, who was the original director and choreographer of this show. And among other things, he also did directing and choreography for 2 other great shows, many more great shows, but 2 that I would name today. One of them would be Gypsy, and then the other one would be Fiddler on the Roof. And it was a testimony to his genius that when you go to Fiddler on the Roof, and what that's about is drastically different than this. And at one point, he introduced a Hebrew watering dance into that, like in the wedding scene. And he's just, and this is the 100th anniversary of his birth. So it's the same for Leonard Bernstein, who composed the entire score. So these two guys getting together and doing West Side Story, they created a monument to musical theater.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really excited.
Well, I was going to ask Victoria, doing the original choreography, was that something you liked to see? Were you like, how? What was your feeling when you, you know, kind of came on board and said, "Okay, we're doing the original choreography"?
It's perfect. There's no other way. I mean, the music and the dance were created together with this show. You know, Bernstein and Robbins worked together, and the movement was created with the music. So I don't think that. you know, there have been other versions where people do other choreography, but I think that the most perfect way is with the way it was originally done.
As a performer, did you do both versions, or have you always done the original?
I did do one version that was not the Robbins choreography, but that was, the four of the five that I did were original choreography, and I did it from lots of different perspectives. You know, I was a shark, I was a jet, I was a swing, I was Graziella one time, I understudied Anita. I really did, like, see the show from many different angles, and I feel like that helps give me a lot of different information to share with the actors so that they know exactly what each movement means. And, you know, I've been on the jet side, I've been on the shark side, I can inform both gangs.
So is this your first time as a choreographer for any show or this show? Or
I've been a dance captain and an associate on a bunch of different projects, but this is my first time, you know, sole choreographer credit, which
and
is really
cool.
And
we are delighted that she's doing it with our production. Yes. And I do want to say that Victoria is not new to us. She was here 5 years ago when we did Singing in the Rain, which, of course, that's a lot of the Gene Kelly and Stanley Donen stuff from the movies. But that was Singing in the Rain, quite a different show from West Side Story. But in that particular show, Victoria was the girl in green and the girl in the green dress. And that was a signature piece of choreography with Gene Kelly and Sid Charisse in that movie. She's kind of the vampy gal that's sitting, and her leg goes straight up and all that great stuff. So that was our first experience with Victoria. How lucky are we?
Well, and, you know, I think it's, I'm assuming it's not a coincidence. I'm sitting here with two choreographers, and you're doing West Side Story, which is kind of a little bit of a dance-heavy performance. Armand, did you intentionally surround yourself with choreographers for this show, knowing?
But it's funny because having worked with both these ladies as choreographers, and what I will tell you, all four productions, I don't know how you could do West Side Story, Victoria, that production where they didn't use the choreography. Yeah. Even when we did it with high school students, and those were our best dances we ever had, we waited till we thought we could do it. And we replicated to the best of our abilities all of it, including the cool and the America, and it was great. And so it's a strange thing, because when we were making the arrangements for this show in terms of the rights, and the rights are granted by Music Theater International in New York, you get to choose three categories. You can do 100% of the choreography, 50% of the choreography, or none. Well, anyway, we all looked at each other. We were meeting in New York, and we said, it's all. And when you do all of the choreography, you're paying 1% of the gross to the Jerome Robbins, the family, the people who control all of his rights. So it's amazing, Jerry. That's what it is.
I do know that once upon a time, and he does talk about this, Armand was a dancer.
I was. Use the word was. But I'm glad you brought that up, because I ended up dancing in Fiddler on the Roof. I did the bottle dance. I did all of that, the Jewish celebration dance, because I was the rabbi's son. And I did all of that. But I also was able, in two other shows, to do choreography from two of the other masters. I was in Hello, Dolly! As a dancing waiter, and that's a lot of work. And I was in Sweet Charity, Bob Fosse. And what that was, I was Big Daddy Brubeck, but I also danced through the whole show. And it was amazing. But Gala Champion is the one that did Hello, Dolly! And Hello, Dolly!'s on Broadway again. So these are the masters. What I will tell you is I, as a producer, really, really, really like doing shows heavy on dance. 42nd Street thrills me to no excess. And it's an amazing thing, because the minute you have choreography that's signature, and Fosse is the same way. Michael Bennett, I've never danced to Michael Bennett, but I have done Chorus Line twice as a producer. And all I can say to you is these signature choreographers, they take a show, and it's all about everything moving.
And I think like the reason West Side is so special is because the dance is what pushes the plot forward.
Yes.
So many of the plot points in the show are conveyed through dance. So not only does it have a lot of dance, but the story is carried through dance. Mm-hmm. So that's what makes West Side particularly really exciting.
And Woody, I know you're kind of also, to go back to the kind of the transition theme, mm-hmm. you're also kind of making a little bit of a transition. Talk about that and, you know, given your choreography background, doing it with West Side Story where the dance really is so integral to the story, is it kind of a special opportunity?
It's definitely special. So this is my first go around as a producer. I'm the associate producer on this, and I'm finally making that leap from director choreographer to producer, which is something that I've been wanting to do for a while. And it made complete sense to do it on West Side Story, a show that I felt so comfortable knowing what the dancers and the cast will be up against, and how I, as a producer, can support our cast and crew and orchestra in those ways. It's great to be so excited about a project. I mean, we can't love every project we ever do. We can't love every job we ever do. But for me to work on this as my first producing job is just thrilling. And a few people have said to me, "Aren't you sad you're not dancing?" And I say, "Absolutely not." I'm so happy to, pop my head into the rehearsal hall and see Victoria working her absolutely working her tail off.
And then I'm going to be visiting at some point, like in 2 or 3 years, and I'm going to say, people will say, "I've already started asking me, are you going to miss producing?" I say, "You can't miss something that you've already done." And right. I sit in the office, and I look at all the 2-foot by 3-foot posters, and I've done every show I've ever wanted to do as a producer. So I've got one more left after this year, and no, it'll be Wendy's. I'll see her sweating it out and trying to get the rights, and thank God I don't have to do that again. But it's the passing on, and they used to say about teaching that you knew when you wanted to leave, that you would automatically know. And when I was a younger teacher, I said, "What are they talking about?" When somebody would leave, I would feel empathetic to their situation. I thought, how horrible, what are they going to do now? And yet, when that time came, I was ready. So I'm going through the same thing now with producing. And it's a comfortable thing. And of course, Wendy, having been a former student of mine and George's, and having been on stage in our shows that we produced at New Bedford High School, and then she worked for us at Festival Theater. How many shows? You did like 6 or 7 shows.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my first professional show was on stage at the Z Summer Theater. This was before Festival Theater produced. This was the last year that the Zeiterion actually produced shows. We did 3 shows. I was 16. It was Chicago.
My first professional job too was Singing in the Rain. So
there we go.
It was my first anything.
Yeah, that's one of the things about it.
I never knew that. Yeah. I thought, she is so on the money.
That was my first time dancing in a professional setting, and it was for 1,200 people at the Z. I was so nervous.
That is funny.
You know, talking about kind of, I brought up the idea of kind of a movie you'll watch every time it's on TV, mm-hmm. but you talk about Hello Dolly being back on Broadway. I think maybe musical theater is unique in that the classics really do live forever, because each new staging is a new, it's not like you're watching the same movie again. You're watching the same story, but it's going to be different because the actors are going to bring something different. The lines are going to be delivered mm-hmm. slightly differently. All of those things are going to be a little bit different. So it's got to be, the fact that you're doing it a 6th time or 5th time is... I can understand why it's not like, oh, here we go again. It's, what are we going to see? Something new, something great I've never seen before.
And new audiences.
Yeah, I never thought about that, like how they react.
Again, my 18, well, he'll be 18 soon, but, my son who was in the womb now can see it. So, everyone in the arts, it's super important to get new generation of audience members and arts involvement, whether it be through philanthropy or professionals. So that's exciting as well. But the classics definitely have a leg to stand on.
Also, I keep saying in rehearsal, it's not a museum piece. You don't mm-hmm. have to say it a specific way. You don't have to. Right. Everyone brings something different to it. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, every time you see West Side Story, it's so exciting because of that.
Absolutely.
Is that a challenge with something that the actors may be so familiar with that they are used to seeing it one way or doing it one way, or they delivered the line the way it was delivered in the movie when they saw it as a kid?
Maybe. I think that I keep saying that they're... we're going to find the version that works best
yes.
for our company.
Mm-hmm.
And we're exploring what that is. And I think that as long as it comes from a truthful place, it will work for us. And what we're finding already is really exciting.
Nice.
But it's a particularly interesting thing with West Side Story, though. I don't know how anybody can sit through a production of it that totally ignores the original choreography. And I give as an example, not a West Side Story, but a chorus line. And I saw a chorus line at the North Shore Theater in the round. I had produced Chorus Line twice. I had seen it, I don't know how many times, on Broadway in the companies. And my brain just was trying to cogitate.
Short circuited.
Because there was never a line. They said a chorus line. I never saw a line. And it was circles, and it was people at odd angles to each other. And I did say to the producer, I said, well, your choreographer has to be a genius, because all choreographers know the original choreography. You know what I would find interesting is if we could ask these two young ladies who their favorite choreographer would be outside of Jerome Robbins, since we've been discussing him.
Fosse.
I was going to say Fosse, too. I think my very dear mentors, who my dance teachers, they're married. And Jerome Vivona, who he worked for Jerome Robbins, he actually did West Side Story with him. And then his wife, Michelle Osteen, she did Sweet Charity with Bob Fosse.
Michelle's name is what?
Michelle Osteen.
I think I know that name.
But so growing up, I had lots of Robbins information coming from Jerome, and then lots of Fosse information coming from Michelle. So I feel like those two would be the ones that I was just so in awe of the most.
And because Chicago was my first show at 16, I didn't know what I was doing. I was literally a deer in the headlights. And Clay James, our choreographer on that, who was in the 1981 version of West Side Story playing Baby John. I just remember he said, you know, like, move your... And Fosse's difficult because it's hyperextension. It can be very awkward. But for some reason, my body did it very comfortably. And he said, yeah, you're a Fosse dancer. And I was like, really? I don't know what that means, but I'm going to go with that.
And who was that from the 1980 production?
Clay James.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was going to say, when we did it in 1987 for the Zyturian, Clay James was our choreographer. What else? And it's funny because I saw Clay James in the show at the time in 1980, mm-hmm. but I didn't know who he was. And that was the Debbie Allen.
Yes.
And Bob Fosse. And I've met Bob Fosse. He's a character, but I loved him. Notice I use his name in the present tense. He is a character.
I'm struck by what a kind of a tight-knit family this is. You know, you all know the same people and worked with the same people, and they've been in the same shows. And it's really, you know, and I guess, you know, the next month you all are going to spend a lot of time with each other. So it's important that it is a little bit like a family.
I think festival theater is such a great place because it gives everybody opportunities to learn and grow and blossom as artists. And I feel very fortunate to be working with everybody because it's given me two very special opportunities to grow and become, you know, the artist and the person
right.
I am now.
And trust me, it's our pleasure, you know,
that's
all I can say to you. And one of our things about, we don't have a huge long season with the five or six or seven gigantic productions we have. We do one major production a year. We like to think of it as a showpiece, and that everybody focuses on that. And it's interesting because we also, this is my framing of mm-hmm. the who we are a stepping stone theater. We don't expect people to be with us for 20 years, 25 years. We're hoping and praying that they're going to move up quickly into the business and that we give them the lift and then we throw you out of the nest. I don't know how else to put it.
Yeah. And then, excuse me, one thing that we talked about, I think, last week, and to kind of go back to the sports analogy, the hours that you all are putting in, you know, there's now collectively bargained, you know, NFL can only practice for, like, you know, 10 minutes a day or something. How long are your dancers at it for the next, 3 weeks?
Well, we're at it from 10 in the morning to 6 at night.
That's just unbelievable to me.
In an unair-conditioned... second floor rehearsal space.
Oh, my goodness.
We were calling it Bikram Dance at the Gym.
Yeah. but we perform in an air-conditioned theater.
Yes.
So by the time they finish doing everything, including all the tech and the dress rehearsal, Tech Week, we're in an air-conditioned theater, too. So, but it's great. There are some theaters, this is a selling point I make to people who are performers, that you go into summer stock.
Oh, yeah.
And you are literally rehearsing and performing in a barn. And I know this used to be the case at Theater by the Sea in Matunuck, Rhode Island. Only recently have they installed AC. And I used to say, I saw a production of Jekyll and Hyde, and we wanted to do it the following year, and we did. And they're wearing this heavy clothes. And I assumed as I'm watching, it was broiling in the house. And I thought, well, the stage must be air conditioned. And then they told me afterward, no. We are sweating like you can't believe.
They are prime athletes.
How hard is it? How hard is that?
It's hard, and it's their responsibility to be in the absolute best condition they can be. So they have to watch what they eat. They have to watch what they drink. They have to watch how much sleep they get. They have to know when to hold back a little and when to perform full out, because if you don't manage that, injuries creep in, and you know that can definitely be the end of a performer's career. But they are like full on training mode, so they can do their jobs to the best of their ability. They are definitely gladiators.
It's amazing. Like, when you get done, do you just go home and go to bed? Like,
yes.
And it's interesting because not all shows require that. Because I've also produced Les Miserables, which is really an operetta, and we had literally hundreds of people who auditioned for that because the number one cut is of your voice. If you can't sing well, goodbye. That's over. But when you do a dance show, what's amazing to me is in this show, you have to have a complete knowledge and training in ballet. And anybody out there who knows anything about bar exercises and ballet exercises, it's the most difficult and strenuous. And I guess they used to say football players, when they were going through certain training, literally were doing ballet exercises. Mm-hmm. And so it is. You're very much an athlete. All these people are athletes in this show.
We were just saying our dance captain is going to give a ballet bar before every show, I think, once we get into the theater, just because they need that kind of warm-up and conditioning before they do the show. It really is a ballet.
That's amazing. And, you know, you mentioned kind of their responsibility, and, you know, we're sitting here the day after the 4th of July. Do you have any good horror stories about actors showing up a little hungover, maybe not at their best for a day of rehearsal?
You have to get a good night's sleep before you do West Side Story. We can say that.
Or you have to fake it really well.
And I'm sure from your seats you can see the people who are sweating through a rough night. I can't imagine, you know, coming in and.
Because
you're not going to take it easy on them, because, you know.
Absolutely not. No.
No marking.
I don't even know what that means.
Oh, it means, that means no practicing. You have to do it for real every time.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. It's interesting because, you know, I've never done musical theater, don't know anything, so it's kind of a new world for me to kind of learn a little bit about. So it's I really appreciate you all coming in and talking about it. Talk a little bit about the nuts and bolts. How many people are in town?
We have a cast of 29, and more than half of them are from the greater New York area right now. And we have people from further than that. And it's interesting because We conduct auditions every year. The first one is usually at the Zeitarian, and then we go to NETC auditions, and then we do New York auditions. So you see an entire array of talent. But there is no getting around the fact that in the case of a show like West Side Story, you really have to hire a lot of New York people, because very few places in the country have this kind of talent and people that have had that kind of training. So, and it was my dream to do this show, because it's going to be one of my last shows, to bring in as many of those kind of dancers that are going to ensure that look with West Side Story.
And I'm also fascinated by the idea that you're taking 30 people and dropping them into New Bedford for a month.
Yes.
Like, Wendy, are they calling you saying, where do I do my laundry? Like, where do I
Well, I did put together cast gift bags on the first day, and it had a map of downtown New Bedford, and a couple of local businesses were very generous to give discounts or packages, because, yeah, that's sort of like where I am right now, is I want everyone to feel comfortable with where they are and to take advantage. And I know that the local businesses are excited too, because, you know, you get all these fresh faces, and we absolutely want them to have a great experience here.
And is it, you know, do they hang out together afterwards? Do people get along? Do you
just
have rivalries?
Like,
is it just
person.
Like any family?
Totally. I don't think the cast wants to see me, because I've been yelling dance steps at them all day. So I usually go home and sleep. But everyone loves each other. It's really, you know, when you're experiencing something like West Side Story, you bond very quickly. And I think that'll show on stage.
The difference, so, you know, a regular job that you might be brought in for 6 weeks, we're all living together. I mean, not me and not Armin.
Thank God.
But the cast and crew, they're all living together. So you work together, you live together. It is a fast, instant family. And a lot of those friends and relationships stay with you forever, and people go on to do different things. And
I could cry thinking about my best friends have come from West Side Story, my very mm-hmm. best friends. Mm-hmm. And I think about them all the time doing this stuff, because you bond so quickly and so intensely doing something like this.
And when you're doing this, do you have like, oh, this really brings me back to the third time I did West Side Story with, you know, someone of those good friends with, or some?
Yes, I said to the Jets, I was doing a part of the dance at the gym, the Jet Siren, and I said, you'll always remember, look at the person across from you, because you will always remember doing this choreography. I'm looking at their face. Really, really special.
Mm-hmm. And some of those like summertime, summer camp friendships where you're thrown together like that, it's really even better because you don't spend enough time together to get tired of the other person. So
right.
And
they're getting paid.
Yeah,
yeah, that's a big
that makes
a
everything
big
better.
Plus.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
And it's a strange thing. And you're hearing it, you particularly are hearing it from me today. No matter what we pay any of these people, we are not paying them enough. And it just knocks me out how much work is put in for what is not a really big salary. And of course, what we do, because we have equity actors, they're union actors, and what I choose to do as a producer is that I pay according to, if somebody's getting equity tier one or tier two, morally, it's not right for me to offer somebody else more money if they're a non-union actor. So I tell the non-union actors that it's scaled, we scale it. And it's, to me, it's never enough money. I always wish I could hit the lottery and pay them what they're worth rather than what we pay them.
Even, you know, so Victoria is working from Monday until the show opens, so that's July 2nd through July 20th. She's working, you know, 8 hours a day, 6 days a week. She's in charge. She is in charge of, you know, all of these people, making them, you know, teaching them and being clear. It's a tremendous responsibility, but her work started weeks and months ago, where she was in a studio with friends working out the choreography. So, so she could be ready to teach it. So, you know, so she's been working since February or March on this. So it's not something where, you know, you come in and you're like, all right, I'll just figure out what I'm doing today. Yeah, it's weeks and months of pre-production before you actually get into the rehearsal stage. And then until you get into performance stage. So
it has to be a labor of love.
I was truly just going to say, West Side Story deserves, the piece deserves mm-hmm. the attention to detail and those hours. It deserves it. And the cast deserves to get to learn and have an experience learning this show. I said my goal was to give them an experience learning it like I did, because mm-hmm. I was so fortunate to have people who really cared, and it was their labor of love, and they passed it on to me, and I really wanted to pass it on to our cast in the mm-hmm. same way.
Now, it's interesting because each of the three of us are at a crossroads in our careers. So I'm thinking primarily of you right now. All of a sudden, how does it feel that you're standing in front of an entire cast, Victoria, when you have been in five other casts of this show, where, as you described it, you're really tight with everybody in the cast, and now, like, you go home at the end of the day, and it's not quite the same. How do you feel about that?
It's definitely different. I mean, some of my favorite memories of West Side Story were being in the trenches with everybody, but mm-hmm. I had a lot of that for 2 years, and I felt like I was ready to take the next step. And it's good. I can see what they're going through, and I remember going through it myself, and I feel like I can offer support and some knowledge for them. But it's different, but it's still okay.
and you're at that stage now where you're passing it on. You're the person that's teaching, and you're the person that is guiding them to do the best West Side Story they can do. So it's a big deal. It's a huge responsibility.
Huge responsibility. I'm sure Wendy, when she did it.
And it's, as I've said to Wendy, a producer's schedule is not a director choreographer's schedule. And what happens with each of our different angles on this is that we are now, all of us, in a position outside of the cast looking in. And it's a very strange thing because we've all done performance as well. And I think that's when you realize, when you're involved in doing musical theater, that you are on all the time. Once you get into the creative staff, or if you're a design staff, you are working all the time. There are no hours. I mean, even in our rehearsal schedule, at some point, I was looking at the one for today, the rehearsal schedule, and some people have a good portion of today off from the cast, but nobody else does.
What's a day off?
Yeah, what's a, yeah, right.
As you transition from the cast mm-hmm. on up, are there some pangs when you see the cast getting together and you know, they kind of have that family that you are on the outside? Is that...
Well, I can only speak for myself, but I enjoy being in charge. So to me, it was sort of easy for me to leave that facet of being in a cast. I also found that I have a short attention span, so if you're in a run of a show, which means once it goes up and it's in performances, I got bored because you're not learning anymore, you're not growing anymore. The show is set, and you have to do it the same way. I was on tour with Chicago many, many years ago, and 2 weeks in, I was like, oh my God, how am I going to do this? I'm so bored. So for me, I'm happy where I am just because of who I am as a person, mm-hmm. And I like the idea of bringing all people together and then saying, go do your job.
And it does do one thing for you though, because when you go to see a professional show, or let's say a long-running Broadway show, and people have been doing it for months and months and months, and they get one day off a week. It's grueling, and I always kind of chuckle to myself because at one point they were saying that Miranda, Lewis?
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
They were shocked that he left. This is a civilian saying this. how come he left after 1 year? I said, because he had no life for 1 year. I said, he had 1 day off a week, and, you know, what is that? And that, to me, is what amazes me, because there are people in our business that they live that way all the time. It's always about performance. It's always about if you've got a performance in the evening, you gear the whole day, and you reach a crescendo at night. Most people have a completely opposite experience in other jobs, where the crescendo comes in the morning. But no,
8:30 a.m.
They're gearing. You hope the crescendo comes. I was never a morning person, so I wasn't crazy about that.
No, it's interesting to hear you say kind of the idea of like, okay, the show is going on board, because to me, I always think of like, oh, the rush of the curtains opening. And did you feel that way, Victoria, about the show? Is it okay, we spent a month doing this, and now it's like, oh, God, okay.
Everyone would laugh at me, but I never got tired of West Side Story. I was excited every day. Sometimes I would run to the theater and say, oh my gosh, we're doing West Side Story two times today. But I don't feel, to go back to your question, I don't feel a pang of, you know, missing it, because I really did have many very treasured experiences.
Because you are closest to being in the trenches. So you see the people now doing it and you're like, oh, I'm not one.
No, I feel, strangely, and I didn't know how I was going to feel, but I do feel like I'm ready to, you know, I had that experience, and I don't feel robbed of that experience, because mm-hmm. I had it, mm-hmm. and I feel like I'm ready to give in a different way for this show in particular.
Victoria, can I ask you a loaded question?
Sure.
What would be a title of a show? There is life after West Side Story.
There is?
Somebody said that to me at one point when we were doing Chorus Line the first time, because I really got into that, and it just was very emotional, because it was still running on Broadway when we did it, the original. So I was like over the moon. But it's true of West Side. There is life after that. What would you like to do?
Oh, man. I teach and choreograph and perform all the time, and I really just am happy when I dance. So I just, any opportunity
to do
this.
Is there a show, though, a title?
Well, actually, Chorus Line was the first show I ever saw. My mom took me to see the revival, and it totally, I haven't had a chance to do it yet, and I would love to be a part of that in some way. I know Wendy did. You were Christine.
I was. Yes. Yes. I've done Chorus Line three times, performing in it. And the first time I did it was with Michael Susko, our director.
Ah!
Way back in 1991.
Back to the small family.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You and one of the girl who's playing anybody's in our show, her name's Zuzu. And her name is Zuzu.
Zuzu.
And she's 18 years old, and she just graduated high school, and she's here. And Michael, our director, and I both went to college with her mother.
That's when you know you've been around for a while.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, small, you know. And she, when I was talking to Zuzu, she said, "I'm seeing how small this world is."
Yeah.
And I said, "And that's a great lesson to learn when you're 18, because you realize how you handle yourself in every cast, in every production, that carries with you."
And I have a memory of Wendy and Chorus Line where I was at NETC auditions, and it's usually all day Saturday, all day Sunday. And I looked on the schedule, and Wendy is the first candidate to step on the platform at 9 o'clock in the morning on Sunday morning. Now, sometimes as a producer, I don't quite make the first one on Sunday morning, but I said to George, our artistic director, I said, I'm going to this. I have to. She did the music and the mirror at 9 o'clock.
Bravo! Which is the character of Cassie does this huge dance, song and dance number in the show. And, you know, Victoria knows it's pretty, yeah, it's a workout. And I had 2 minutes to audition for 100 producers.
Yep.
And it was 9 a.m. on a Sunday. And I said, I'm going to do this.
So much for the glamour of showbiz.
Yes.
So, you know, and you talked earlier about kind of the work schedule for now until the 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I work under
20th.
Daily 20th. Okay. Even better. I work under, you know, kind of daily and weekly deadlines. But to me, that seems like, holy cow, that's not a lot of time to get ready for this.
We have deadlines.
Do you have?
Yeah, because we move into the theater. So right now we're rehearsing at the First Unitarian Church. And our last rehearsal at the church will be July 14th. and then we have a day off, and then on that Monday we move into the theater. Mm-hmm. So then we add tech, costumes, orchestra, makeup, lighting, all of it. So a huge deadline is the last run of the show, which means we do the show from the top to bottom without stopping. That happens July 14th.
Wow.
So it has to be taught, memorized, acted, as good as it can get by the 14th of July.
In your both of your new respective roles, does that time seem less than it did when you were acting?
It's about the
no.
same.
Okay. So there's no extra pressure of the clock ticking.
No, I think we're used to it.
And there are theaters. I always think that we provide all of our people with acres of time, because I have heard of theaters that do 10 yeah. shows in 10 weeks. And you're rehearsing one show in the daytime and performing another one at night. And I had a former student and an actor that worked for me. And he said at one point he was doing that at the Mack Hayden Theater.
Yes.
And he said in the middle of a show, he couldn't remember what show he was in. I don't ever want my actors to feel that way. You will know, they'll all know that they're in West Side Story every minute.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, this time, rehearsal period is generous, because right before this, I just did a production of The Producers, and we set it in 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
Five days in the studio.
It seems impossible to me, but coming from the outside, it just seems like it can't possibly. So many moving parts coming together.
Know their lines, and they know their lyrics, and they know their music before they come into rehearsal. It's not, da 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 da. Okay, now sing it. Da 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 da. These actors get their materials, at least their scripts and scores, way in advance.
And working with professional actors, I'm sure, makes a
difference,
because they know.
Exactly.
This
so
show.
They've photocopied, they've highlighted, they've gone over their music, because they want to be the best they can as well. You know, none of them come into this saying, "Well, whatever."
I have never seen that
exactly.
in all my years.
And dancers are so smart; they have to be able to pick things up so fast.
That's true. Yes.
And it amazes me how quick everybody is.
Yeah, I see. Like someone do 1, 2, 3, and you do that. Like, the teacher does it kind of halfway, and then the dancers do it immediately. And I was like, it would take me a month to remember those 7 things in order. Like, I can't remember a phone number. Like, I don't know how you do it.
We staged Dance at the Gym, which is, a 7-minute number?
Yeah. It is a massive number.
We did it in 6 hours.
That's amazing.
That's a testament to how fast our cast is.
And that is also a testament to Victoria, because if you were a choreographer who wasn't completely prepared and follow a schedule, that could have easily gone off the rails. But for the fact that she did that in 6 hours, and they ran it yesterday. No.
Tuesday.
They ran it on Tuesday. After that, we made a good choice in putting Victoria in that role.
And Armand and I have talked in the past about when the show goes on, you're kind of moving on. You know, when the curtain comes up.
Am I moving on? Yes.
Yeah.
Because right now I am thinking of next year's show. I'm doing stuff with that already. And I will be seeing a production of next year's show at another theater. As a matter of fact, this Sunday, on my only day off in the week, I will be going to see next year's show at another theater.
And seeing it next Tuesday.
But one of the things that's been my good fortune, I say this all the time, years and years and years of working with musicals, and I've also directed plays. At one point in my life, I directed a production of Death of a Salesman, which requires for a director a whole different set of things you have to do with actors. And one of the things that I noticed, the difference between actors and people who created dance or worked with dance, is that actors sometimes have to be told, you have to work, you have to communicate with your entire body. Your body English is as important as the words you speak. And some of them, they think it's only the lines. And it's very funny, because dancers automatically know. When they walk into a room, they just don't walk into a room. It's like they make a statement. And so I like that, because it becomes immediately theatrical without having said a word. So it's an interesting thing to do this side of the business, because doing plays is really a completely different set of skills. Yeah.
Interesting. So nuts and bolts again. When does the curtain rise? When do we get to see the fruits of all this labor?
July 20th, 7 p.m. is our opening night, and Victoria will be able to sit in the house and watch.
Oh my gosh!
Watch it. Yep.
And it's interesting because we will all look at it that night and say, here it is, it's opening night. And it is a very exciting performance for any show, the opening night. And I do remind everybody out there, it's not too soon to be getting your tickets. So you can call the Zyterian box office at 508-994-2900. That's 508-994-2900. The box office is open Monday through Friday, 10 in the morning to 5 in the afternoon.
And you're exhausted.
Saturday, 10 until 3.
And you get them online at Zyterian.org.
What
yes,
did you say?
Absolutely.
Zyterian.org. Online.
Yes,
yeah.
You can get
yes.
them online.
Anytime.
Zyterian.org.
Yep. Well, guys, thank you again for coming in. Can't wait to see where it all goes.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you.